this morning, I've been asked by your rector to add to your sermon series that you've been doing. And I've been given the arduous task, the difficult task of preaching on serving. In honesty, I was like, oh yeah, okay, that sounds really good. I would love to preach on serving today as a part of your sermon series. When we were in the process of forming this parish, if you don't know me, I'm Alex Farmer. I used to be the rector of this parish. And when we were in the midst of sort of forming a parish, becoming a church, the idea came up about what we should call our church. And if you know anything about the diocese, quite a few of the churches took the name Christ Church. And so we have Christ Church Savannah, and we have Christ Church Wakulla, and we have Christ Church Vero Beach, and it goes on and on. And Christ Church, you know, it's that name is very popular. I had this conviction, having been in Gainesville for about 4 years, having served in another church that some of us came from, that we needed to think of a more unique name. And I wanted to find a name that communicated to the culture, the people of Gainesville, to what we wanted to, what we were going to be as a congregation. And that sort of led me to the thought of Servants of Christ. I didn't at the time know that there had been another Servants of Christ, although I guess actually there was, that Beth Kirby and Shower's husband, Ed, had pastored up in the Jacksonville area. But it was not in my mind at the time, but I was so neat to, it was so neat to have that connection. But I really began to focus on this idea of Servants of Christ. Again, because so many Christ Church, yes, we're Christ Church, but we're Servants of Christ. And so that became the genesis of it. My son and then the senior warden of the church both disagreed with me. They thought it was a terrible idea. How could you ever grow a church called Servants of Christ? People are going to want to be a part of that. You know, who wants to be servants? And in a sense, that is the idea. We wanted to boldly say we will be different. We will take all of Jesus' words seriously, and we'll seek to be a church that uniquely is a light to jump off of what Kim shared, to be a light into the community and to say we will take seriously the whole counsel of God. And I believe fundamental to who we understand God to be calling us to as a people is to be servants. But as you know, that's not always very popular. We even, for a while, we called our newsletter, back when we had paper newsletters, we called it, somebody old-time remember, the Towel and Basin. And it was off of that idea of sort of focusing in, reminding us that that we are called to be those who serve. Servants of Christ. Well, what is serving? Because if the title is Servants of Christ, then it fundamental, our call is to be serving. What is serving? Well, I think there's no better definition than Paul gives us in Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Making others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not to his own interests, but to the interests of others. If I was to say in a short phrase, serving is humility with flesh on it. If we're going to learn to walk in humility, we demonstrate that most clearly when we're willing to serve, as our Lord Jesus did, stooping down, washing the dirty feet of his disciples in the gospel reading you heard this morning. Back when we were trying to formulate, what are our values? What are the behavioral values of us as a parish? We settled on this phrase. I don't know who actually came up with it, but I love it. Willingness, we are a people who are willing to be uncomfortable for the needs of others. We want to make visitors, we want to make strangers comfortable in our midst. We want them to feel hospitably received. And so we're willing to be uncomfortable to that end. And again, that's another way of thinking about what it means to serve. It's such a wide range. Jesus will refer to his going to the cross of Calvary as service. He says in Mark chapter 10, he says it in all the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but he says it there in Mark 10. He says, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Looking forward to the cross and his willingness to ultimately serve us by going to the cross for us. But here in John 13, Jesus also shows that serving is not just his service to us on the cross, but everything that steps down from that all the way down to this lowly, menial task of washing the feet of his disciples. It's the reason why we keep that practice in the church. As you know, as Anglicans, we celebrate Maundy Thursday. We have this day where we both remember the Last Supper as well as Jesus' command to wash one another's feet. And so we do that, and some of you like that and some of you don't. And sadly, I know some of you who like that and some of you don't. But we do it because Jesus modeled it for us. He drew us to that place. He wanted us to see the vast range of what it means to serve. And so we serve. I jokingly said early on that I guess the feast day for us would be Maundy Thursday. A lot of times parishes, you know, Church of the Advent, that you're in Advent, or the Good Shepherd on Good Shepherd Sunday, or whatever your name is, Trinity Sunday, Trinity Anglican. But for us, it's Maundy Thursday because chiefly we were called to model serving. Well, why? Well, first of all, the first thing to say is that we serve because Jesus modeled it for us. Jesus modeled it for us. Peter is unwilling at first in John 13 to allow Jesus to wash his feet. He resisted. He doesn't want a Messiah that would stoop so low and do the work of a servant. And yet, Jesus says, unless I wash you, unless you let me serve you, you have no part in me, Peter. And of course, Peter then relents and allows him. We serve because Jesus modeled servanthood to us. Paul will go on to say in that same Philippians 2, like Jesus, who himself did not consider equality with God to be grasped, but emptied himself and took on the posture of a servant and being found in human form. Actually, I'm getting it out of order, but being found in human form, he submitted himself to a servant, even to death on the cross. Jesus modeled for us what serving looks like. And I believe in John 13, we actually see the heart of God himself, that this is what God is like. He gives of himself. He takes from himself and he gives sacrificially. He serves those that he comes to save. We serve because Jesus served us. We serve because Jesus commands us to serve. He says, "Do you understand what I've done for you? I, your master, have served you. Now you are to go and to serve one another." You are to do in like way. Not saying we're to walk around and spend all of our time washing each other's feet. That's one example. But Jesus says, in the same manner, you're to do the same for you. You're to serve one another. You're to look for ways to serve one another. One of the beautiful things about this parish, I believe, is that there is a servant's DNA that kind of runs through it. I spent time with those who would be received or confirmed last night. We had a lovely dessert out there in the narthex, and they testified to the way you've lovingly invited them in, welcomed them into this body. And I believe it's that sense, the desire to serve, to be of help, because Jesus, your Lord, commands you to. Jesus' commands to us are always good. He's not ever cruel in what he calls us to do. He knows that the secret to a truly abundant life is actually laying our lives down. It's giving ourselves. Jesus is teaching in this whole John 13 that what love looks like is sacrifice. It's laying down our rights for others. And so this command is actually helping us recognize the pride and self-centeredness, the very things that Peter is holding on to that would keep him from allowing Jesus to wash his feet. He's saying, that is that very thing you need to, in humility, do likewise. Serve others. Begin to orient your life outwardly. As a young boy, I remember a young man, one of the Billy Graham, one of the things Billy Graham Ministries did, I keep hitting this microphone, but he, too many gestures. Billy Graham had this whole series for you that are young. Before the internet, before streaming services, we had to look for ways with actual film to watch things. But the Billy Graham Evangelistic Society would come out with these different teachings, and I remember one of those was about a man who went on to be a gospel singer, but the whole story was about this man who lived across the street from him, which we would describe as an extra grace required person, right? Just a little more, grace required. You know that phrase. You know what I'm talking about. We are all probably extra grace required people for somebody, but there's this as he tells the story, he finds himself called by God to do increasingly more humbling things to help this extra grace required neighbor. And the epitome of it is that the guy calls him and says, "My toilet's not working." And the guy ends up going and literally, as he says, and if you've worked on a toilet, there's no way to do that from a distance. You actually have to hug the toilet to get to what you need to do. I mean, you're down there, reminds some of us of our college days, right? You're never as close to the toilet as you are in that moment. You're working on this stuff, but in that great humility of having to clean a man who didn't do a great job of housekeeping, but to fix his toilet became this symbol of him, of God's call to follow his command. And to be willing to serve in any way that's necessary, to begin to learn to orient our life in that direction, is what Jesus calls us to. But it's for our good. And the third thing to say then is just simply that when we embrace serving, we begin to shape our lives for the kingdom. We begin to grow into Christ's likeness. We begin to move in that way. It's not coincidentally that most of the writers of the New Testament and many leading figures in the New Testament use the phrase servant of Christ. Mary, the mother of God. "I am the Lord's servant. Let it be unto me as you have said." Simeon, who meets Mary and Joseph in the temple, servant of God. The Apostle Paul, throughout his letters, "me, a servant of God." You heard it read in the New Testament lesson. Peter, Simon Peter, James, the brother of Jesus, Jude, the brother of Jesus. Even the angels of Revelation 19 and 22 refer to themselves as servants of God. There's this constant reminder that at the very heart of the work of God in our lives is a call to serve. I think it is as fundamental as our call to give sacrificially of our resources. As a matter of fact, it may even be more common than even the call to give sacrificially of our money, of our resources. We're called to emulate the Lord in servanthood. Jesus uses so many parables about serving and servants. is he just fixated on it? No, I mean, I think there's an aspect of discipleship that takes him there. But I think it's also because they, in the ancient world, they would have seen indentured servants everywhere. They would have seen them. They were more common than Chick-fil-A employees. They were everywhere. And so Jesus used examples that people could understand and relate to. And he says, You may have a low opinion of these indentured servants, but if you are a follower of Jesus, you must do likewise. I mean, you got to give it to Chick-fil-A. I mean, they're well prepared, right? You know, thank you. It's my pleasure. It's what they always say. It's like, I try to get them off a little bit, right? Try to mess them up a little bit. No, you can't. They're on script. They know that role. But again, I think about that. Do we approach our Christian life in the manner, I mean, think about the people that serve your table when you go out to eat, or that handle your groceries at whatever grocery store you go to, or the people at the fast food restaurants that wait on you. I understand not all of them have the best attitude, but that sense of being called to emulate servant ministry. I think that oftentimes the ways that the Lord introduces this in Christian community is actually in the physical feeding of people. If you've not had experience to go with Deacon Justin down and feed the homeless, to be in a place of serving those who are socially, you know, the society would say are beneath you, and yet to go and serve them. Years ago, we had something. It was a ministry where they actually laid out white tablecloths, and we had the homeless come in and sit down, and we'd go around like waiters and waitresses, and we'd wait on them. I think it's a powerful reminder to us to begin to shape our lives in that direction. During COVID, some of us experienced going out to the parking lot of the mall and filling up people's cars with food, people that did not have enough to eat. And so we would, you know, and various things, and just sweating and constantly bringing food to these cars, taking people to appointments. Jody was, and I were richly blessed when she fell in 06, and many in the congregation would show up with their sedans that she could get into and take her to hospital. But others, carrying people to appointments, cleaning someone's house. Jeannie Bay once said she had this veteran who had a house that was just, it was really dirty, Jeannie, I just got to tell you, you know. But I had a prospective boyfriend for my daughter, Samantha. He was going to be in town. And so I said to Rick Gary, I said, hey, Rick, will you help me clean this house? Rick knows it was bad. But I thought, you know, if this man wants to marry my daughter, not Rick, but this young man, He can show his worth by coming with us. And he had dogs, and it was, I mean, there were water hoses and pressure washers. It was inside the house. I mean, it was, but again, it's the things we should be doing. And I'm grateful you asked to do it, Jeannie, because it moves us towards kingdom-shaped lives where we're willing to lay down our rights, our privileges, our station in life, and to serve in a way that needs to be done. It's about attuning our lives to the needs of those around us, how they might be feeling right now, what they might be experiencing it. Again, it's not unlike you, and you're really good at this, inviting new people in and being sensitive to how awkward it might be. You don't know what to do. Why is that guy wearing all those clothes up there, you know, or why are we kneeling and standing and sitting and all these, helping them come along. But it's that attuning to the needs and then going to the need and ministering. That's the work of serving. And you have some incredible models for that. You know that. Leadership in the kingdom, Jesus says, should model this. You know, the Gentiles, they rule over, you know, their leaders rule over, but not so among you. Whoever would be first will be a servant to all. Again, emphasizing servant. And we talk about servant leaders. There is no work, no job that is beneath me, even as a bishop, especially as a bishop. I'm willing to do anything. If trash needs to be carried out, or if, you know, whatever, it's that should be a part of me. That should be the model by which we live our lives, to have an upside down kingdom. I think Aiden's telling me it's time to stop preaching. And you can't get off just by saying, well, I don't want to be great in the kingdom. I'm willing to be lowly. It's like, no, that's not the idea. It's not an escape clause. We're to see the call. Ultimately, serving points back to the grace of God. And I just want to reference back to what Kim shared in the children's sermon and that second lesson from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For we do not proclaim ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord. We ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake, that he might be glorified. For God who said, let light shine out of the darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When we serve in his name, we best exemplify his glory. We do the best of living out exactly what Paul says. We proclaim not ourselves, but Jesus Christ. And we are your servants for Jesus' sake, that Jesus would be glorified, that when you ask the question, what is different about you, we would say emphatically, Jesus. I love you because he loved me. I serve you because he served me. So that's the reason why we came up with servants of Christ. Fundamental to our own discipleship is learning to serve in his name. And it's a call to proclaim and to be a witness for Christ in the city, that we take seriously all that Jesus said. We want to make his name great in this city, in this county, in the surrounding area. Bridging churches from the east to the west. Coming alongside the homeless and the poor, supporting parachurch ministries to youth and adults, those with special needs, college students, the university, Santa Fe College, caring for the aged and alone, those in jail or detention centers, nursing facilities, which can be the loneliest places in the world. We want to take the love of Jesus there by serving those we find. We begin small. We do whatever needs to be done. And we ask God to cultivate a heart that would model for us what servanthood looks like. Amen. Amen. May you always be servants of Christ, that Christ might be glorified through you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.